Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He's not into all that, right? He's holistic.
He's all zen and stuff. Yeah. He's not getting shot up to play.
And so
that's too bad. I don't know if he's going to work that.
He's a natural. He's a natural healer. That's how he does. You know, if it's not surgery, it's going to be a natural heal.
Yeah.
You know, Mahomes is like, yo, shoot me up with whatever you got back
every
there.
Game.
That's a guy. I
want. How could you get through an NFL season without doing that? You could not.
And I'm starting to think you can't get through an NBA season.
I think that's fair.
You know, but he ain't taking that. I don't remember what they gave Mahomes, but he ain't taking that. So that concerns me. You're in a big physical playoff series, and Jared Allen gets an elbow to the ribs. You might miss him. You might not get him back for the remainder of the series of the season. So that I would just not be super gung-ho about trading for Jared Allen just on that alone. It's something that, especially with a franchise that does have extensive injury history, you want to add more risk, more liability, and more exposure to that? I would rather not, honestly.
No.
Jeremy Wu, though, I think nails it at 9. That was Gavoni. Gavoni said Devin Carter.
Okay.
Jeremy Wu said the pick that gets the best value for the Grizzlies at 9 is Dalton Knecht.
And, love that pick.
And he was one of the few that I said, you know, I'm cool with at 9. And he said, this is not a pick Memphis should overthink if it stays put here at number 9. Knecht is the draft's most polished perimeter scorer and our top player who was left on the board after a breakout season at Tennessee. He's a legit lottery-level player because of what he brings to the table on offense as a threat away from the ball who can attack closeouts and score at all three levels. The question of how high to take him hangs on how much more teams think he can improve, but this feels like the right place for him. And again, I agree, because you could grab a center that could do for you what you need him to do. You don't need him to be a first, second, third, fourth option, honestly, in this offense. You have Jaren as the defensive player of the year. You know, you need firepower outside of Ja and Desmond Bain.
Yep.
You know, and we're still assuming Marcus Smart is part of this equation. Like, so you got that. You need somebody that can high point the basketball, who can knock down threes.
And we're probably, I'm not trying to speak for you here, we're assuming that Kennard is not on the roster as they rearrange the deck chairs.
Again, I don't think he's part of the long-term plans at all. So, and I think his ceiling is higher than Luke Kennard.
I would agree with you.
Because he's bigger.
Well, the dilemma would be if Edie and Kennard are sitting there at 9, you're going to have Grizzlies fans who haven't seen either one of them play a game for you, and they're going to go, you guys are stupid because you have the center, you know, and you passed on him.
To me, the question becomes whose ceiling is higher,
right?
Edie or Kinect? If they're both there at 9,
I think it's Kinect. If I'm answering it,
I'm okay with either. I'm okay with either because I get it.
Right.
But I think the ceiling is a little bit higher for Kinect because of what we know he's going to do. Like, we know that Kinect can potentially be great at shooting and scoring the basketball. Mm. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's not 6'4", right? He's a 6 what's he listed at?
He's 7'4", isn't he?
No, that's Edie.
I'm sorry, Edie. Kinect is like 6'7".
He's listed at 6'6". So, you know, that's a big guy.
Yeah, he's huge. And like you said, the jumper is a above-head release.
It is. It's Kevin Durant-esque. And I'm just talking about in terms of his – I'm just talking about in terms of the way it looks.
It's great.
All right? I'm not talking about – I'm not comparing him to Kevin Durant.
Yeah. No, it's a good
– But he's a rangy – you know, he's rangy.
Athlete on offense.
He's 6'5". And a quarter without shoes, but you wear shoes when you play.
Heard that.
Okay.
Except if David Jones, you put stilts on to take the measurements.
So let's say he's 6'6".
Okay.
And he's got a wingspan of 6'9".
That's fine.
So he's got a positive wingspan, right? That's certainly good enough in the NBA.
Yeah.
And again, he played in the SEC. He got to an Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And what did he have against Purdue? I mean, that dude was absolutely cooking.
He was all they had.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had 30-plus. I mean, I remember because I was on Purdue, and I was like, can somebody please get this guy?
The two of them had 77 combined points between Edie and Kinect. Kinect had, was it 37? Yeah. of 66.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
In the Elite Eight game.
Yeah, and it was...
That's bananas.
It was all, 37 points. I mean, that's a big-time stage. Now, I know Purdue did not have, like, a lockdown defender. They clearly were pretty small.
They were going to let him go.
But the reality is, I mean, I think he's shown that he can do it. And, and so that's what I would consider. Like, again, I'm not saying those are the only two guys I'm considering at nine. I like the kid from Colorado, Tristan Da Silva.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched Colorado quite a bit. Weirdly, but you know, he's a two-way guy. You know, he's 6'8", 220, shot 40% from three last year, and everybody always talked about, you know, Cody Williams, but the pro prospect that I thought stood out more than any was Tristan Da Silva.
He's 6'8".
Yeah, and he's a little older. He's a little older. He's
23.
But that's okay. That's
but so is Kinect, though.
Yeah,
I mean, Kinect's an old player.
Yeah, shot, you know, basically 50% from the field.
Yeah, he's a little taller than Kinect.
16 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be comfortable with him, too.
Right.
I think he's a smart player. He fits right in to this team. And you could play him, you know, multiple positions. So anyway, I think, look, there are still good players that the Grizzlies can get at nine. No question about it. If they want to trade up and they want to package some things together and they want to go for Klingon, I'm fine with that, too. That's perfectly reasonable.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I know the impact that Klingon had, his on versus off splits with the Huskies. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
And I really feel like he could do the same in the NBA.
You'd have to give up the farm to get him, it sounds like, to get up that high.
It just depends on where you think he's going to go. Mm. I mean, could he go fifth? Could you get to fifth from nine?
Mm,
you know, I mean,
maybe.
And the Pistons are sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
They need to accumulate some stuff.
Yep.
So it's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly. But I do think the Grizzlies will have some good options. I do feel very confident in that because Castle has basically said, "I'm only going to be a point guard." You know,
yep.
I'm only going to play point guard somewhere. So that takes him off the board for the Grizzlies.
What about Holland? You like Holland? Everybody talked about him projected at 9.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you're going to have to really develop him,
right?
And I think that may be the issue. And he's now basically being talked about as a big faller.
Yeah, they said he's sinking in. Tristan Da Silva, they're saying, is going up while that dude's going down.
Yeah, Tristan Da Silva will go up because, again, he's more ready-made.
Mm-hmm.
Holland needs to go somewhere where they have, like, a real long track record of great development, like the Heat.
Spurs?
You know, Spurs, something like that. But they won't take him, you know, at wherever they are for. Yeah, they're not going to take him at 4. It'll be a little later. But, yes, I think... Yeah. You know, if I was selecting Holland, I would have to know that, you know, my situation is ripe for that, and I don't really think the Grizzlies right now is, you know, you're not trying to take on any projects.
Right.
If you're going to take somebody at nine, it ain't going to be a project.
Well, I'm just burnt out on the Grizzlies projects after the whole you know, number nine pick where you're taking Zaire Williams. I'm over this. Like, pick. I think you need ready. Well, look at Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane paid off because you drafted a 22-23. You drafted a 22-year-old 4-year player from TCU at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would much rather do that than try to do another one of these long dudes who you just want to try to develop into a shooter or a potential four, I guess, because you're good there.
The only project really has been what, Zaire Williams?
Well, let's see. Zaire, you could argue that the 2 years ago draft where you had the kid from Wake Forest, Laravia. Like, Laravia's a project.
I think he's just more of a bust, but yeah.
And then I would probably say the cat we just traded to Phoenix from Colorado State.
Yeah, but he was a late pick. I mean,
they went, what was it, 17 and 20 in the late early 20s for those two.
David Roddy was a first-rounder? He was late first-rounder, right?
Roddy, NBA draft. I think he was in the early 20s.
He was 23rd.
They traded up to get him there, too.
He was a 23rd overall pick. Like, it's all a crapshoot at that point. In terms of premium picks, top 10 picks, the only guy they've really ever taken a gamble on and tried to
in the top 10 lottery
was
Zaire Williams.
He was a project. I mean, that was obvious. You know, you hope that.
And it was a miss.
In two, three years.
It was
years.
A miss.
And it was. But my God, I mean, they got Vince Williams in the second round. They got G.G. Jackson in the second round. They got
they hit
Desmond,
on both of those.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, so their track record is far better.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, I can't define them by that Zaire because,
I'm with you on that.
You identified two legitimate rotation players at worst in Vinny and Gigi.
I agree exactly with what you're saying. Like, I think in general, this franchise, this front office has done a pretty good job. I will say, it feels like more satisfying when you draft Dalton Kanek at 9. I'm not saying he's going to make it. We're predicting he might make it. But it does feel more satisfying, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's proven scoring, right, at the college level. And it's, you know, an older guy.
Even
you know?
Edie would feel pretty satisfying at 9.
Same concept.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that's older, that's been in college for a long time, and who brings something that you need.
Right.
You know, they don't feel like gambles. You know, I do think that if the Grizzlies did draft somebody like Tristan Silva, everybody'd be like, oh, this guy sucks. How could you do that with Dalton Kanek on the board? How could you do that with Zaire on the board? So, like,
Colin will be the same reaction.
You know, I just kind of throw that all out the window because you don't know how the stuff will turn out.
Now,
three, 4 years from now,
they didn't draft Jaren either. That was Wallace. Right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So
that was his last.
That clearly was a development that did work.
Yeah, it worked out fantastic.
That was the other group.
Ja was obvious.
Yeah, right? That was an easy pick. Everybody
knew
that.
Again, really the only gamble that you've taken that hasn't paid off has been Zaire. Mm-hmm. And people are going to do that. You're going to miss.
Yeah.
You know, every franchise.
Well, and they were
missed.
In a position to do that because they weren't coming off a year like this one.
Yeah, you just took a shot. I mean, you changed the way you played a little bit with Jonas, but you had to do that.
Yep.
And you took a shot, and it didn't work out, and that's okay. You made up for it with the Desmond pick at 30 that nobody would have ever saw coming in terms of him being this.
That
good.
Was a home run.
And then you have again, Gigi. Some people were talking about he might have gone number one.
That I've heard that too.
In this draft. Right,
Gigi was a great, and they moved up, if I recall, in the second round. They did some finagling to get that one done in late. So
I think they've done a whole lot more good than bad. And it comes to, you know, we tend to focus on the misses a little bit, but I suspect they'll make the right decision. I think they'll do the right. They'll make the right decision at 9, whatever that may be, whether it's moving up, moving back, and getting a player there and picking up some assets, or selecting at 9. I think they'll have a lot of options for sure. But that's the latest from ESPN. Nick Friedell is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Lakers, about Dan Hurley, about the finals. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, Arty China FM, ESPN. The Wing Guru has the best wings in Memphis. Y'all know that. My man, Billy Richmond, out there. Doing it big, doing big things at the Wing Guru. My favorite thing about the Wing Guru is the difference in the flavors, right? Like, you're not going to find these anywhere else in Memphis. You're not going to find these anywhere else in America. You go around all the chicken capitals of the world, I'm telling you, you will not find the exotic flavors and the premium flavors that exist at the Wing Guru. My go-to is the garlic sriracha, just reliable. But they got the Triple J sauce. They got the Can't Catch Cow sauce. He's always cooking up something over there. But they have something for everybody at the Wing Guru. They got fried catfish, gourmet burgers, locations all around Memphis. Easy to find, too. Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub. It's the Wing Guru. When you see Billy Richmond, tell him Jason and John sent you. I have some devastating news, Brad.
What do you got?
Maybe devastating news.
Oh, no.
Joey Chestnut banned from the 2024 Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
What is going on with Joey Chestnut? Did he do illegal banned substances or something? He's cheating? What's he doing?
Yeah, so he apparently is unable to compete due to an endorsement deal with Impossible Foods.
Come on.
That is what...
Nobody's going to... This is not good for the sport of competitive eating.
No, it's not. We already lost one of our guys, right?
Kobayashi?
Yeah, he's done.
What happened to Kobayashi? I guess he wasn't in it, but...
I think he retired. I think he stopped being the formidable foe.
Did he have gastric bypass or something?
I'm sure. Like, I'm sure that he... It, caught up with him,
but I think Chestnut is out.
He retired due to health reasons.
Yeah,
and then he feels like his body is broken. And Joey Chestnut,
see why.
I will say, like, my brother-in-law.
Yeah,
I don't know if people remember this. It's so funny though the impact that Joey Chestnut has on people. My brother-in-law was legitimately devastated last year when it looked like the weather might cancel the hot dog eating contest.
Remember, does he go?
He doesn't go, but he always, on July
4th.
Yeah,
he watches on TV. It's the only live sporting event that weekend.
Yeah, like my boy was broken.
Do they have lines on this now? I'm sure they do someplace.
Yeah, they do.
You can gamble on it?
100%.
Would you gamble on it?
Total of I don't, but
that's who I would bet to win.
Only in certain states can you do it, but like you can bet on over under amount of hot dogs, like for sure, and like you know,
what a world, bro.
Chestnuts are always like 80 something. You know what I'm saying?
What like, a world! Unbelievable.
But yeah, the truth of the matter is that if you don't find a way to get Joey Chestnut into this event,
you're screwed.
People are not going to watch it.
No, you're not going to have an event.
This is like the Caitlin Clark of hot dog eating contest.
Well, and friend of the show Jason Fitz isn't going to be there for his Swift commentary and play-by-play that they've had for so many years on the sideline, you know, reporting with the remote microphone either. You got that crazy guy who's like the spokesperson. Is
right.
Like, and coming up to the, you know, here he comes.
That's right.
He's at 50 and we're going, you know, the hype guy they've got is really good.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And without Chestnut, you're going to have that Eater X. Here's the eaters I know. I know Chestnut. I knew Kobayashi. I know Eater X. Eater X is probably, what's the Black Widow? What's the widow woman?
I thought that was the pool player. I thought that was the Asian pool player.
There's a woman. So there's most famous eaters in competitive eating.
Jeanette Lee.
That's her.
That's a pool player.
Oh, I was thinking.
There's a
woman. There's a woman. Oh, it's Mayo Ibarahara. Okay. She's from Osaka, Japan. Michelle Lesko is number 10 in the world. There's Miki Sudo.
People are not watching for these people.
Here's the second-ranked eater out of Oxford, Massachusetts, Jeffrey Esper. Nobody cares about Jeffrey. No, yeah. All these dudes are nobodies.
Yeah, again, it's like if remove Caitlin Clark from the WNBA, and this is what's going to be. So it's just, I'm not sure why this prevents Joey from participating is the part that I'm confused by.
Yeah.
I guess because Nathan's and Impossible Foods are competitors because Impossible just launched a vegan Frankfurter.
Oh.
And so
he is the number one, still ranked number one.
Yeah.
If you go to the Major League Eating website, out of the 50 top, he's number one. That is a blow to the sport.
So,
and a colon blow too.
Chestnut was paid $200,000 last year to appear.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was his talent fee? It was like NIL.
Yeah, $200,000.
He deserves it.
He was offered a $1.2 million 4-year contract moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose the endorsement.
Yep.
With Impossible Foods.
They must have paid him a boatload of cash.
I mean, it's just a math question.
So it's probably he got $2 million from them and they turned him down at that point. They're like, you're gonna have to go.
It's like, what am I going to make more money doing? Am I going to make more money endorsing Impossible Foods, or am I going to make more money participating in the hot dog contest?
I would go with Impossible Foods, and it's also a non-beef product, probably.
And again, we don't know what he's getting from Impossible Foods, but it's obviously more than $200,000, which is what he was getting to appear in the, you know, in the hot dog event.
I guess I'll watch, John, because it's the only live.
We'll watch because it's just the spectacle, but
it's not going to be the same.
The end of an era.
Yeah, the only ones I remember outside of him, and I'm looking at the top 50 on the website now, Eater X is on there, but he's not in the top 50 anymore. And then there's this dude, you'll recall, his name is Crazy Legs Conti. He's pretty big. But none of these guys are as good or as popular as Joey Chestnut.
That's right. 16-time winner, and it's all over now because they didn't want to pay him any more than what they were paying him. And so that's the end for Joey Chestnut.
It's a sad day.
He's been banned from the 2024 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Devastating day in the United States of America. All right, we'll come back. Nick Friedell is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the NBA Finals, get his thoughts on the Lakers' job, what comes next. Stick around. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. Would you like to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? We have an opening.
Hell no, because, guys, come on now. You got to win with talent in this league. The Lakers don't have enough. They thrive on drama. They have plenty of that. I don't care what coach was dropped into that situation right now. You're not going to win a title. And that is what a storied franchise like the Lakers are judged on. It's not about getting to the Western Conference Finals or, you know, getting out of the play-in. Draw whatever storyline you want. Talent wins. The Lakers don't have enough. And that is not a good job for whomever may get it in the future.
We actually just I want to come back to this in just a minute, Nick, but we do have some breaking news in the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis suffered a torn medial retina, I don't even know how to say that word, allowing dislocation of the posterior tendon in his left leg. All right, or you get all that, and apparently all that he is just day to day. But if Porzingis is significantly injured, clearly more than Mazzulla let on when he said he's fine. Can the Mavs sneak back into this?
I don't think they can win four games from Boston, even without Porzingis. I think they could maybe if all things were equal without him, maybe it ties up again and the momentum of the series comes back. I just think, guys, that the Celtics top to bottom are just better. They're deeper. It was what we were touching on last week, but you can switch everything with Boston. I mean, there's so much focus on Luka, and he's an unbelievable player. The Kyrie hadn't been there to help him so far, and the rest of that group that was so good at various points in the playoffs just hasn't been there. So I expect him to play better, certainly, in Dallas. And without Porzingis and the jolt that he's given that Boston roster, it's big. I just don't think that the Mavericks can win four of the next five
right
against this team with the amount of different weapons they still have in play.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess the argument I would make, like, pro Boston is that, you know, with the way that Dallas's bigs sort of just play, you know, they don't have a Miles Turner. You know, Miles Turner gave Luke Kornet absolute fits, right? I mean, if we're saying Porzingis is out and that's where we go, it feels like Kornet, you know, again, we're getting into the rotation here, but that's the way it goes in the NBA Finals. Kornet is a lot better suited at the rim to defend Gafford and Lively, you know, than he would have been, you know, Turner or whatever. Like, the Mavs bigs aren't three-point threats, so you almost wonder, is there a chance it doesn't look that different, at least from the defensive end?
Completely. And I think it's a point that's very well taken. Turner had the ability to stretch things. Dallas, for as solid as those bigs have been, you're not plugging those dudes in the corner and saying, fire away. I mean, that's not part of the arsenal. The biggest problem that Dallas has had in the last couple of games is that Kyrie has been a non-factor. And I know we touched on this before, but I didn't think people were giving enough credence to the idea that, you know, Kyrie has changed the way he's been playing. He hasn't been a distraction off the floor. But Kyrie's also, he's human. You go back into that setting in Boston where you haven't had success and the fans are chanting all kinds of stuff at you and everybody's on you all the time. I wasn't surprised at all that he wasn't playing his best, on top of the fact, as we've outlined several times, Boston just has the defenders to set up very well against Dallas. So I would expect him to play better in Game 3. But to the point about the bigs down low, I don't foresee it looking that much different, which is why
right.
I don't think that Boston, as much of a hit as it is to lose Porzingis, is going to lose that much if he's not able to go here in the next couple games.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like this is the Celtics' time, and it's an ode and a testament to not just you know, having a core that grows together, which they clearly have had with Jason Tatum, and they've had to go through it, right? I mean, I think that's the other lesson to take from the Celtics, is they identified their core. And they went through a lot of different variations, right? They went through a lot of different versions of, okay, who are we going to put around them? Who are we going to live with? Who are we going to move on from? And they eventually, you know, found the universe sort of aligned, and they bring in Porzingis. They bring in, maybe most importantly, Drew Holiday. Nick, it feels like Drew Holiday is probably even more important than Porzingis in a lot of ways, just with the leadership and the championship pedigree that he brings. I mean, isn't that sort of the lesson? There are lots of lessons about the Celtics. It also helps when you have Tatum and Brown. But isn't it also just like, hey, there's going to be trial and error when you have a young core, you know, for a fan base like the Grizzlies, where you're going to probably go through some years where you're still trying to find, you know, which pieces fit?
Completely. And if you're a Memphis fan especially, I think there are certainly parallels that you can look towards in the way Boston appears to be set up to finally get over the hump with this group. The other part that I think everybody's got to be reminded of in the league is you need the star players. They are the cornerstones of everything that you do. But especially this iteration of the Boston team, it's a reminder that everybody has to do their part as far as building the right group to get you over the hump and win. Brad Stevens saw the flaws of his team, not just last year in that seven-game series to Miami, but the last couple seasons. He knew that they needed to change things up. So what does he do? Well, he makes the deal with Memphis. And, you know, here comes Drew Holiday and Porzingis, and another name that we haven't hit on yet, but I think it's crucial in all this, is Derek White.
Yeah.
That move obviously was last year, but he's been awesome for them. So it's another, I think it gives, it's another reason for the league to pause sometimes when you're thinking, oh, you know, this group just can't get all the way through. Well, sometimes you have to change things up within the group. Stevens identified what he needed to do. They had the stars up top that they were comfortable with. And now they are on this path where they're two games away again from hanging another banner. But I think that the difference in this team is they finally have the right pieces around Tatum and Brown to make you think that not only can they win these next two games and win a title, but this group, if it sticks together for a couple years, probably is going to win another one.
Yeah, we're talking to Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Okay, look, I know you certainly have made your bones as an NBA reporter, so I would be remiss if I did not ask you. We have a Cold War. All right, there's just no two ways about it. We have a Cold War between Woj and Shams here, as opposed to whose account with the Lakers coaching search more accurate from where you sit, knowing how these things work, knowing how word of mouth, and, you know, I'm sure there's some intention right behind what gets leaked and what does not. Whose account do you tend to believe more? That Dan Hurley was the focus from the jump, that he wasn't, and that J.J. Redick was being zeroed in on? What makes more sense to you at this point, Nick?
If I have learned anything as far as this specific conversation goes, guys, it's that the truth is always somewhere in the middle. So the answer is that there are a lot of layers to all of this stuff, especially with this Lakers story. But I think there's a little bit of truth in a lot of different places.
Mm.
And that's a way of saying, I think that it originally with what Shams put out there, I'm sure there was something there. Then Woj comes back, and without any question, they offered Hurley the job. And, you know, I think the part that I feels like it has a lot of people scratching their heads is all we heard for all those days was it's a massive offer, it's a massive offer, it's huge.
Right.
And then it was like the sixth highest offer in the league. Where do you go and what to believe? What my answer would be, having lived this for so long, is I think basketball fans on the whole are a lot smarter than what the media sometimes gives them credit for. And certainly in the way in which these stories usually come out there, you just have to pull the curtain back a little bit and see whose relationships are tied to whom. And in that kind of game,
exactly,
everybody's tied in with somebody.
Right.
And so what happens moving forward and who to trust, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. But
right.
The point is that I think fans are more in tune to what's going on.
No doubt.
Than a lot of people would lead them to believe.
Well, and here's the thing. They were, like, honestly, if I was sitting them down in a room, I'd say you were both wrong. I mean, if we're just going to – because Dan Hurley was not the – because that was the – Woj kept doubling down on that, right? And, again, we know what was happening. But Woj kept doubling down on he was the first and only candidate the Lakers have ever even thought about. Well, that's clearly just not true because J.J. Borrego has been talked to twice. And then it's also not true that J.J. Redick was being zeroed in on because they quite literally offered the job to Dan Hurley. Maybe they knew he wouldn't take it. I don't know. I'm not getting into that game. But they offered the job to someone else. Therefore, you cannot say with a straight face that J.J. was the being zeroed in on. So they were both wrong. I guess the question now is, given how messy this is and how publicly this has all played out, I mean, do you think, Turn FM, ESPN, would you like to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? We have an opening.
Hell no, because, guys, come on now. You got to win with talent in this league. The Lakers don't have enough. They thrive on drama. They have plenty of that. I don't care what coach was dropped into that situation right now. You're not going to win a title. And that is what a storied franchise like the Lakers are judged on. It's not about getting to the Western Conference Finals or, you know, getting out of the play-in. Draw whatever storyline you want. Talent wins. The Lakers don't have enough. And that is not a good job for whomever may get it in the future.
We actually just – I want to come back to this in just a minute, Nick. But we do have some breaking news in the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis suffered a torn medial retina, I don't even know how to say that word, allowing dislocation of the posterior tendon in his left leg. All right, or you get all that? And apparently all that, he is just day-to-day. But if Porzingis is significantly injured, clearly more than Mazzulla let on when he said he's fine, can the Mavs sneak back into this?
I don't think they can win four games from Boston, even without Porzingis. I think they could, maybe if all things were equal without him, maybe it ties up again and the momentum of the series comes back. I just think, guys, that the Celtics top to bottom are just better. They're deeper. It was what we were touching on last week, but you can switch everything with Boston. I mean, there's so much focus on Luka, and he's an unbelievable player. The Kyrie hadn't been there to help him. So far, and the rest of that group that was so good at various points in the playoffs just hasn't been there. So I expect them to play better, certainly in Dallas. And without Porzingis and the jolt that he's given that Boston roster, it's big. I just don't think that the Mavericks can win four of the next five against this team with the amount of different weapons they still have in play.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess the argument I would make, like, pro-Boston is that, you know, with the way that Dallas's bigs sort of just play, you know, they don't have a Miles Turner. You know, Miles Turner gave Luke Kornet absolute fits, right? I mean, if we're saying Porzingis is out and that's where we go, it feels like Kornet, you know, again, we're getting into the rotation here, but that's the way it goes in the NBA Finals. Kornet is a lot better suited at the rim to defend Gafford and Lively, you know, than he would have been, you know, Turner or whatever. Like, the Mavs' bigs aren't three-point threats. So you almost wonder, is there a chance it doesn't look that different, at least from the defensive end?
Completely. And I think it's a point that's very well taken. Turner had the ability to stretch things. Dallas, for as solid as those bigs have been, you're not plugging those dudes in the corner and saying fire away. I mean, that's not part of the arsenal. The biggest problem that Dallas has had in the last couple games is that Kyrie has been a non-factor. And I know we touched on this before, but I didn't think people were giving enough credence to the idea that, you know, Kyrie has changed the way he's been playing. He hasn't been a distraction off the floor. But Kyrie's also, he's human. You go back into that setting in Boston where you haven't had success and the fans are chanting all kinds of stuff at you and everybody's on you all the time. I wasn't surprised at all that he wasn't playing his best, on top of the fact, as we've outlined several times, Boston just has the defenders to set up very well against Dallas. So I would expect him to play better in game three. But to the point about the bigs down low, I don't foresee it looking that much different, which is why I don't think that Boston, as much of a hit as it is to lose Porzingis, is going to lose that much if he's not able to go here in the next couple of games.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like this is the Celtics' time, and it's an ode and a testament to not just having a core that grows together, which they clearly have had with Jason Tatum, and they've had to go through it, right? I mean, I think that's the other lesson to take from the Celtics, that they identified their core. And they went through a lot of different variations, right? They went through a lot of different versions of, okay, who are we going to put around them? Who are we going to live with? Who are we going to move on from? And they eventually, you know, found the universe sort of aligned, and they bring in Porzingis. They bring in, maybe most importantly, Drew Holiday. Nick, it feels like Drew Holiday is probably even more important than Porzingis in a lot of ways, just with the leadership and the championship pedigree that he brings. I mean, isn't that sort of the lesson? There are lots of lessons about the Celtics. It also helps when you have Tatum and Brown. But isn't it also just like, hey, there's going to be trial and error when you have a young core, you know, for a fan base like the Grizzlies, where you're going to probably go through some years where you're still trying to find, you know, which pieces fit?
Completely. And if you're a Memphis fan especially, I think there are certainly parallels that you can look towards in the way Boston appears to be set up to finally get over the hump with this group. The other part that I think everybody's got to be reminded of in the league is you need the star players. They are the cornerstones of everything that you do. But especially this iteration of the Boston team, it's a reminder that everybody has to do their part as far as building the right group to get you over the hump and win. Brad Stevens saw the flaws of his team, not just last year in that seven-game series to Miami, but the last couple seasons. He knew that they needed to change things up. So what does he do? Well, he makes the deal with Memphis. And, you know, here comes Drew Holiday and Porzingis, and another name that we haven't hit on yet, but I think it's crucial in all this, is Derek White.
Yeah.
That move obviously was last year, but he's been awesome for them. So it's another reason for the league to pause sometimes when you're thinking, oh, you know, this group just can't get all the way through. Well, sometimes you have to change things up within the group. Stevens identified what he needed to do. They had the stars up top that they were comfortable with. And now they are on this path where they're two games away again from hanging another banner. But I think that the difference in this team is they finally have the right pieces around Tatum and Brown to make you think that not only can they win these next two games and win a title, but this group, if it sticks together for a couple years, probably is going to win another one.
Yeah, we're talking to Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Okay, look, I know you certainly have made your bones as an NBA reporter, so I would be remiss if I did not ask you. We have a Cold War. All right, there's just no two ways about it. We have a Cold War between Woj and Shams here, as opposed to whose account with the Lakers coaching search more accurate from where you sit, knowing how these things work, knowing how word of mouth and, you know, I'm sure there's some intention right behind what gets leaked and what does not. Whose account do you tend to believe more? That Dan Hurley was the focus from the jump, that he wasn't, and that J.J. Redick was zeroed in on? What makes more sense to you at this point, Nick?
If I have learned anything as far as this specific conversation goes, it's that the truth is always somewhere in the middle. So the answer is that there are a lot of layers to all of this stuff, especially with this Lakers story. But I think there's a little bit of truth in a lot of different places.
Mm.
And that's a way of saying, I think that it originally with what Shams put out there, I'm sure there was something there. Then Woj comes back, and without any question, they offered Hurley the job. And, I think the part that feels like it has a lot of people scratching their heads is all we heard for all those days was it's a massive offer, it's a massive offer, it's huge.
Right.
And then it was like the sixth highest offer in the league. Where do you go and what to believe? What my answer would be, having lived this for so long, is I think basketball fans on the whole are a lot smarter than what the media sometimes gives them credit for. And certainly in the way in which these stories usually come out there, you just have to pull the curtain back a little bit and see whose relationships are tied to whom. And in that kind of game,
exactly,
everybody's tied in with somebody.
Right.
And so what happens moving forward and who to trust, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. But
right.
The point is that I think fans are more in tune to what's going on.
No doubt.
Than a lot of people would lead them to believe.
Well, and here's the thing: they were like, honestly, if I was sitting them down in a room, I'd say you were both wrong. I mean, if we're just gonna, because Dan Hurley was not the, because that was the Woj kept doubling down on that, right? And again, we know what was happening, but Woj kept doubling down on, he was the first and only candidate the Lakers have ever even thought about. Well, that's clearly just not true, because J.J. Borrego has been talked to twice, and then it's also not true that J.J. Redick was being zeroed in on, because they quite literally offered the job to Dan Hurley. Maybe they knew he wouldn't take it. I don't know. I'm not getting into that game. But they offered the job to someone else. Therefore, you cannot say with a straight face that J.J. was the being zeroed in on. So they were both wrong. I guess the question now is, given how messy this is and how publicly this is all played out, I mean, do you think it makes it a tougher job to hire someone for, because it's played out so, and you know that you're not the first choice, or is that it's just business at this point?
I think any coach that's getting into that job knows that it's business completely.
Yep.
And if you're getting into the Lakers job, I mean, come on.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You've got to walk into that with your eyes wide open. The only thing I'd be telling my agent is, you better give me a ton of money, because coaches are hired to be fired more than any other time that I can remember in the NBA. And you better make sure my guarantee is good. But I would go back to a few years ago. I mean, nobody had Frank Vogel on some top of the line list. And Frank Vogel ends up getting that job, taking the Lakers to the bubble, winning a title. And, of course, Vogel got fired, and now he's fired again in Phoenix, and that's the way the coaching cycle goes. But do I think that the way this is played out has any impact on who they get next? No. I mean, if you're going to go for the job as coach of the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James, good luck to you. I don't see that as a very good job for growth or for trying to win a title. That's a job for getting a lot of money and being in a hell of a spotlight and knowing that it's just not going to be a long time that you've got it, and being very clear on the understanding that job is not yours for a long time, and that organization from the top down just has always been kind of messy and doesn't seem to get changed at any point in the past or feeling like it's going to happen in the future.
Did the fit, I mean, again, we know it's not happening now, but when I initially saw the report about Dan Hurley, which came out of nowhere, I just thought, if for Dan, why give up being king of college basketball? I mean, I know it's the Lakers, but it ain't the Showtime Lakers by any stretch of the imagination. This is like the Tubi Lakers. This is like the end of this is like season 9 where it's about to end. Like, it ain't that version of the Lakers. And for the Lakers, why Why would you if you have to win now and this is it, and you know, and I know they'll say, well, the future, but really, let's be honest, you still want to win one more title. Why would you go with a guy who's completely unproven, completely – college is great, one thing, but it's a different deal. Like, did the fit make sense to you just even hearing it?
No, never. And if you're the Lakers, if he really was the guy and he was the guy all along, you sure as hell are going to give him more than $70 million because you're not going to leave any doubt. I mean, if that's your guy and you want him to set up the course of not only the next couple of years with LeBron, but moving forward into whatever that future looks like, you're saying, hey, we're financially committed to you. You run things the way that you want. When I saw the number figure, that's when I was like, what? You know, none of it really fit together. The team, the coach at this point in time, the fact that you kind of just won back-to-back titles. And I'd also give context this way. I was at, and this was years ago, that press conference in Orlando when Billy Donovan got hired by the Magic. And he took the job, and he took the money. And the Gators had just won back-to-back titles. And that was the parallel between where he was at and where Hurley is now. And he had the job for a couple days, and he goes back to the Magic, and he says, you know, my wife and I were just not ready. And they got cold feet, and he stayed at Florida for a couple more years before going to OKC. But that's exactly what I started thinking when I heard Dan Hurley's name pop up. I was like, you've got a team that has just won back-to-back titles. UConn's going to give you a bunch more million to stay. You've got recruits that are coming in that feel like they want a three-peat. And you're going to go now to a team where you just can't win a championship with? I mean, that just, it didn't add up. But so many things in the NBA world now, they don't seem to align. This one always felt odd. I mean, look, going back to the Redick thing, like, you want Redick? Like, Redick hasn't coached at all. I mean, maybe he's good. Maybe he's not. Is he a name more than James Borrego? Sure, but what are the Lakers looking for? If Hurley was the guy, though, I know this. If they wanted him bad enough, you're going to give him a lot more than $70 million to make him take a job and leave a situation that he's in. As far as the financial part goes,
absolutely,
that's where I was scratching my head.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. Maybe someday, Nick, we get the, you know, we get the book and tell all. I don't know. Maybe Woj will write another one with Hurley. I don't know. But in the meantime, it feels like we're gonna absolutely have to wait. For the reel to come out, if it ever does. All right. So just last thing before we get you out of here. The cadence of this finals, does it feel like a game three stand by the Mavs here and they you know, somehow make this feel more competitive? Do you feel like the Celtics take this to 3-0? Like, what do you think the cadence is for the series and how it plays out the rest of the way?
It feels right now like it's a gentleman's sweep, mm-hmm. that it's just made four or five games and let's start the summer and see what happens in free agency. The only thing I think could change it is if Porzingis is indeed out, you know, for a little bit. We'll see, I guess, there. But defensively, that's what I keep going back to. The Celtics are just better. They're better than any team Dallas has seen, on top of the fact that Jason Tatum hadn't shot well at all. And the Celtics are still winning these games. They were 25% from beyond the arc the other night in game two, and they still ran away at the end of it. So there are reasons why Boston was the team that we saw all year long. There are reasons why, notably Luka and Kyrie, that you feel like Dallas still has some kind of chance. I just think all along, Boston top to bottom is a cut above where Dallas is. I think Dallas has maximized where they have gotten to, and I'd be surprised at this point if it stretches beyond five games.
Yeah, it feels like five to me too, even with the Porzingis thing. So I hope it goes longer. I've enjoyed the performance here from Luka. It's hard to know if we'll ever see it at the finals level again. It's hard to get back, as you know. It's hard to get back, but it just feels like the Celtics are too much here. Nick, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time.
You got it, buddy. Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. That is Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Equipped for adventure. Yes, we got some pretty big news there in terms of the personnel.
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla capping, straight capping after the game the other night that Porzingis is fine. You could watch and tell he was not fine.
No.
He was walking around. He didn't want to touch the ball. And now, again, you're seeing it. He is day-to-day is what they're calling it, with something that I can't even pronounce, something in his leg. It doesn't sound good. If you can't pronounce it, it can't be good.
I don't think he's ever going to be right again.
I mean, a guy that size, it's probably just going to be your career.
Yep.
Right?
It's going to be this teeter-totter of, you know, health, and are we good enough to play, get some run here, put him in, shoot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the challenge for Wimby, right? I mean, when you're that big, you know, and you're putting that much miles on your body, especially as physical as it gets.
I always rejected folks who are like, how dare you bring up their health? If you look at, and I would put Holmgren in this category, those three guys, they don't look like a normal person. Does that, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's not unfair to go, they just don't look like they'll hold any sort of athletic movement with those stilts because they're so tall. I mean, when you're 7'4", it's logical to say, and I pointed this out when you were gone, Jason and I were talking about centers on the Grizzlies, and we were talking about a bunch of them. And we pointed out, this guy wasn't healthy. This guy isn't healthy. Like, how many centers have not been, like, have just had awesome career? Mark was unhealthy. Like, we've never had a center who doesn't break down.
Most do. I mean, think about it. I mean,
all of them break down.
Embiid?
Embiid broke down.
Embiid's
they
never
all
healthy.
Break down.
Mitchell Robinson gets hurt.
Yes.
The Knicks. Like, you'd name me a center that is consistently.
That's never not, like, had some sort of a, or didn't have a bad ending. You know?
I mean, it's just few and far between. I mean, I'll say, Bam. But, you know, he's built like a Greek god.
He's also thicker, too. Like, that's why I like Jalen Duren. I know he's not a perfect player, but, like, there's a little bit of stout. You know, he's got a little bit of mass to him as opposed to being like a guy on stilts.
Yeah. I definitely, you know, it's just part of the job, right?
It is.
Part of the job. Steven Adams always hurt. Like,
always hurt.
You know, you're that big and you're running that amount of time, you know, and you're expected to sort of be in tip-top shape.
Right.
It's a demanding game.
It is.
It's a demanding game.
Which is why, like, whoever the Grizzlies get at center, I do think you should probably, this is something you got to think about, who's the backup center, too.
Well, it all matters. I'll say this for the Celtics as it relates to this series.
Yeah.
It's out to 2.5 now. Dallas minus 2.5. Open minus 1 now. It's out to 2.5.
That just moved today.
Now, it's in the last 5 minutes because of the Porzingis announcement.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
But I think it's just speculation. He's day-to-day. He may play. He may not. But like I was talking about with Nick, this would be a bigger problem if Dallas's bigs were capable of playing outside. Right,
right. Guard the perimeter.
If they could bring Luke Kornet out, but Luke Kornet is a natural rim protector. He's actually great at that. At that one thing, he's great at protecting the rim, which is where Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford want to play.
Yep.
Again, Miles Turner gave that dude fits. I mean, I watched it. He gave him fits because, again, Porzingis wasn't out there, and Horford can't play 48 minutes, so they have to go to somebody. And they did acquire Xavier Tillman, but it seems like they don't really trust him.
Well, and Kleber's nicked up, too. He can't guard.
Correct. He cannot. He won't be on the floor.
No.
He won't be on the floor. If he was, right, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
That would be – they might go small and play him at the five, play PJ at the four, but he's just not –
he's not right.
You can't trust him. They needed Kleber in this series, and they need him more than ever now if Porzingis can't go.
Yep.
But I just don't think – I don't know. Maybe he gets one more shot because of this news. But let's say he doesn't. Let's say that he's just – kid's going to stick with the starting bigs. I don't think it changes that much for the Celtics. I don't think it like – I don't think it just diminishes or kills their chances.
I'm not changing who I think is going to win game three.
You're up 2-0, right?
Right.
A, you're up 2-0. But in terms of just the game-to-game, I don't know how much it changed, at least on the defensive end, because you're bringing out now. Look, you lose the ability of Porzingis offensively, because he was shooting over everybody. You
in
know?
That first game, especially,
and that's
like,
a mismatch.
I mean, the first
that
game he was balling out. Now,
but the good news is they do have these two young players named Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown who can pick up the share there, and I suspect they will do that. So, anyway. That is the latest that it's going to be perhaps Kristaps Porzingis day-to-day. And, you know, maybe he misses tomorrow, and I could see that. You sit him for game three. Doesn't really matter, right? You still have game four. You still have home court advantage. And you have the rest. So I think they'll be cautious with him. And it could leave the door open, certainly, for the Dallas Mavericks. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up. Stick around. Jason and John, on China FM, ESPN. Yeah, when I was a kid, it was always an amazing night when we got a chance to drive up to Sonic. You know? And I passed that down to my three-year-old daughter. We go, we get, you know, we get the fries, we get the shakes, we get the Route 44, the popcorn chicken. That was a cool thing about it, right? Like, Sonic had everything. They still do. They have everything today. And introducing brand new Sonic Groovy Fries, made to hold more sauce between their grooves. So it's functional, Brad.
They designed the fry it's to functional. Hold. Amazing how they did these fries.
But they're also hot.
I love that.
Crispy and perfectly salted.
Salt them perfectly.
Right? So it's like Sonic just continues to make amazing things
as
on their
Jeff
menu.
Would say, delicious.
Delicious. I mean, I'm telling you, that's what they do at Sonic. So get over to Sonic locations all around Memphis. It's America's Drive-In. Live free, eat Sonic. Groovy fries only.
It's what's for dinner.
At Sonic. Yes, it's what's for dinner. In honor of Jason.
Yeah. I wanted to get that in there for Jason.
Yeah, you know, it's
what's for dinner as well.
It also could be what's for lunch.
It could be. You know? I actually, you know what I love, Sonic? There's one over there. If you're coming into Germantown, over by Briarcrest, out by that, you know, like you're going towards Lakeland. There's one out there in the middle, and it is my spot. There's also one in Arlington. There are actually a ton of locations now of Sonic. That's the other thing. There's one everywhere.
Yes, no question.
There you go.
So good stuff there. Good stuff from our friends at Sonic. And thank you for holding it down
for
Jason.
I'm trying to do my part. I that was a free endorsement from Brad Carson.
He would be proud.
I hope so. I wanted to get the it's for dinner part in there. That was my favorite part of the endorsement yesterday.
Again, Jason will call back to very random things from the 80s and 90s.
No, he goes to the extra mile for y'all's you know, partners.
He does. He does. And I'm very appreciative of that.
I am too.
And I hope that everybody else is as well.
Amen.
You know, he's missed today. He is absolutely missed today.
Yes.
Listen, we'll see what happens. I'll be very curious with the Celtics now, what this number does. You know, does it touch three? Because at that point, you're asking a lot of me. You're asking a lot of me.
Oh, you change things once that line goes to three.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a Dallas spot in some ways, right? In some ways, you know, again, going back, Kyrie plays better, right? But you're asking me to lay, again, this if it goes through, you're asking me to lay three with a team that's down 2-0 that basically played their best game possible against the Celtics in game two. The Celtics played their worst game possible, and they still covered the number.
They still covered.
You're asking a lot of me as a bettor to lay 3 points. Now, again, it's kind of stuck in the middle right now. It's 2.5. So I'm not super compelled one way or the other. If this touches three, or God forbid, 3.5, there is no way I'm betting Dallas, and I will be betting Boston at 3.5. Now, again, I'm not trying to influence your decision, but that is what I will be doing.
So we're going to be doing Fade Brad tomorrow in the second hour, and I will say, early reports, precincts in, we're rolling with the green so far. That number could go to 4, and I'd probably still go Boston.
Oh, well, they're underdogs, yeah. I mean, so if
5,
if
I'd still
if
go.
If it goes to 4, if it goes to whatever, I mean, you're getting a better number at 4.
I so. Don't see where, and maybe I'm being naive, you're the pro at this, but, like, I just don't think home court matters at this point.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Kyrie needs something. He needs something to wake him up.
Yeah, they need
maybe
a lift,
it's
bro.
Back home. I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see what this number does. It might be different by the time we get here tomorrow. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Nick Friedell for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and company are up next. Don't miss it. It's going to do it for us. Stick around. Yeah, when I was a kid, it was always an amazing night when we got a chance to drive up to Sonic. You know? And I passed that down to my three-year-old daughter. We go. We get, you know, we get the fries. We get the shakes. We get the Route 44, the popcorn chicken. That was a cool thing about it, right? Like, Sonic had everything. They still do. They have everything today. And introducing brand new Sonic Groovy Fries, made to hold more sauce between their grooves. So it's functional, Brad.
They designed the fry
it's
to
functional.
Hold. Amazing how they did these fries.
But they're also hot.
I love that.
Crispy and perfectly salted.
Salt them perfectly.
Right? So it's like Sonic just continues to make amazing things
as
on their
Jeff
menu.
Would say, delicious.
Delicious. I mean, I'm telling you, that's what they do at Sonic. So get over to Sonic locations all around Memphis. It's America's Drive-In. Live free, eat Sonic. Groovy fries only.
It's what's for dinner.
At Sonic, yes. It's what's for dinner. In honor of Jason.
Yeah. I wanted to get that in there for Jason.
Yeah, you know, it's what's for dinner as well. It also could be what's for lunch.
It could be. You know? You know what I love, Sonic? There's one over there. If you're coming into Germantown, over by Briarcrest, out by that, you know, like you're going towards Lakeland. There's one out there in the middle, and it is my spot. There's also one in Arlington. There are actually a ton of locations now, Sonic. That's the other thing. There's one everywhere.
Yes, no question.
There you go.
So good stuff there. Good stuff from our friends at Sonic. And thank you for holding it down
thank
for
you.
Jason.
I'm trying to do my part. That was a free endorsement from Brad Carson.
He would be proud.
I hope so. I wanted to get the it's for dinner part in there. That was my favorite part of the endorsement yesterday.
Again, Jason he will call back to very random things from the 80s and 90s.
No, he goes to the extra mile for y'all's partners.
He does. He does. And I'm very appreciative of that.
I am too.
And I hope that everybody else is as well.
Amen.
He's missed today. He is absolutely missed today.
Yes.
Listen, we'll see what happens. I'll be very curious with the Celtics now, what this number does. You know, does it touch three? Because at that point, you're asking a lot of me. You're asking a lot of me.
Oh, you change things once that line goes to three.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a Dallas spot in some ways, right? In some ways, you know, again, going back, Kyrie plays better, right? But you're asking me to lay, again, this if it goes through, you're asking me to lay three with a team that's down 2-0 that basically played their best game possible against the Celtics in game two. The Celtics played their worst game possible, and they still covered the number.
They still covered.
You're asking a lot of me as a bettor to lay 3 points. Now, again, it's kind of stuck in the middle right now. It's 2.5. So I'm not super compelled one way or the other. If this touches three or, God forbid, 3.5, there is no way I'm betting Dallas, and I will be betting Boston at 3.5. Now, again, I'm not trying to influence your decision, but that is what I will be doing.
So we're going to be doing Fade Brad tomorrow in the second hour, and I will say, earlier reports, precincts in, we're rolling with the green so far. That number could go to 4, and I'd probably still go Boston.
Oh, well, they're underdogs, yeah. I mean, so if
5, I'd still go.
If it goes to 4, if it goes to whatever, I mean, you're getting a better number at 4.
I don't see where, and maybe I'm being naive, you're the pro at this, but, like, I just don't think home court matters at this point.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Kyrie needs something. He needs something to wake him up.
Yeah, they need
maybe
a lift, bro.
Back home, I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see what this number does. It might be different by the time we get in here tomorrow. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Nick Friedell for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company are up next. Don't miss it. That's going to do it for us. Stick around.